This is the Preparedness Radio Network, preparing you for natural and man-made disasters, helpful tips on gardening and homesteading. Be prepared and remember, preparedness saves lives. This is the Preparedness Radio Network.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Prepper, and this is the Dr. Prepper CPR Talk Show, Critical Preparedness Radio, where we discuss the critical preparedness resources that are necessary to become prepared, or perhaps even get better prepared. I'm Dr. Prepper, and we are part of the Preparedness Radio Network. This is Preparedness Radio at preparednessradio.com. My job is to help you meet people who have the information you need, and I do these interviews frequently, and they're always available on iTunes, and you can all find about 7,000 hours of recordings at iTunes and or at preparednessradio.com. Today, my guest is a bright young man. His name is Cal Wilson. He's recently written a book. It's called Dirt Cheap, Valuable Prepping. I asked him to be on the show because I think he's done a very practical book. He is a Christian. He's a patriot. He's a gun owner and a prepper. He's an attorney. That's what he does for a living. And he's been involved in law enforcement for more than 20 years. He does live in an undisclosed location west of the Mississippi River. So do I. But he lives with his wife and his various family members, and I likewise live with my wife and no other various family members except the kitty cat. This is Cal's first book. Again, it's called Dirt Cheap, Valuable Prepping. And I guess the subtitle is like, cheap stuff you can stockpile now that will be extremely valuable when SHTF. So this book has been called an entirely different kind of prepper book that should be a part of every prepper's library. Perhaps the reason for that is it's already down to earth, every man's quick and dirty version of a lot of things that you need to consider in becoming prepared. There are many, as you know, and I've interviewed many of the authors. There are lots of books with lists. I wrote one many years ago. There's some really good prepper fiction books. We've interviewed those authors. There's some really good ones. In fact, I've learned a lot from prepper fiction. But the nonfiction is what we need for the direct application. Fiction gives us ideas of things that might happen, could happen, perhaps will happen that we don't even think of. But the reality is the nonfiction is what we have to live with because that is where life is. So Cal Wilson's book assumes you won't be able to stockpile everything, and that's a pretty darn good assumption. I think in a worst-case scenario, of course, there's certain items that you need to have on hand that you need to know how to utilize, that you need maybe not in profusion, but in adequate supply to help you get through that tough time. And having things to barter is a good idea. We'll discuss that with him also. I have some theories on that. I think we can discuss those as gentlemen. He can certainly out-logic me with his law degree. That's what he does for a living for the many years he's been around. I just try to be rational about the things I do. That doesn't mean he's being irrational, obviously. So what we want to do is teach you to stockpile what you can. He's going to give you ideas of things that you can do that may be a little ordinary. Some of them may appear to be extraordinary. That's only because we're all still learning. So perhaps, you know, things like dryer lint, what does that mean? He will be telling us salt, obviously, a basic. A lot of people leave those things out. But he's going to talk about all those things and perhaps give us an idea of some of the things other people have done to survive their experience when the poop hit the propeller, which he rated. So when the poop hits the propeller, how they have survived and been able to make the best of a bad situation. So enough of me telling you about Cal. Let's bring him in and have him he can talk for himself. How are you doing, Cal?
Really good, Dr. Prepper. It's a real pleasure to be here on your show. You're one of the giants in the prepper world, and it's a real honor to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
You're too kind. Thank you for saying that. Well, tell me what prompted you to write your book, Dirt Cheap, Valuable Prepping. Sounds like a conundrum.
Sure, thanks. I've just noticed, as have a number of other preppers, that our country has, it seems like it's gone off in the definitely the wrong direction. And I just think it's an unsustainable direction. And there are a number of things that have turned me into a prepper. And I'm perfectly content to watch there's kind of a national conversation on prepping. And listening to your podcast and a couple of other good ones, watching some TV shows. Anyway, there are a number of things, of ideas that I've had that I have not heard discussed elsewhere. And, nobody forced me to write this book. I thought I would just include a lot of these ideas in this book that I have not seen discussed elsewhere. So that's why I call it a different kind of prepping book. It's filled with a lot of different type of prepping ideas. So that's basically it. There's an urgency out there with prepping now, and I think this book should be included in the library of preppers to kind of round out some different ideas, different approaches.
Well, tell people, let's tell them where they can get the book. There'll be people, as we talk, will go order the book because they don't want to forget it. So where can they get their copy of Dirt Cheap, Valuable Prepping?
Well, it's available on Amazon, either in paperback or Kindle version. And let me see, it's $8.99 paperback and $2.99 Kindle. And I think if you buy one, then you get a discount on the other.
Great.
I can't explain the details there.
Okay, yeah. They'll tell you at Amazon.com, but that's where it's available. You're self-published, so this is your conduit to the external world. Go to Amazon.com, and you can either type in the easy one, Cal Wilson. There's only one of you there. I've already checked. Or they can look up the book, Dirt Cheap, Valuable Prepping. There is another Dirt Cheap book, but it's published out of Colorado. So you're the Cal Wilson version of it. Okay. Well, the whole idea of this was to kind of look at some of the things that the big book authors don't cover. You looked at you took the seams in the logic and kind of plastered over them is what I see. Tell us some of the things that you saw that weren't being adequately covered that you felt needed to be brought to the table.
Yeah, well, there are a whole bunch of them. I'd say salt and spices. I have a vision of a lot of this stuff is important to have, but if society collapses and you have a lot of this stuff, then you can also barter.
Sure.
And I start off with salt because there's so many different uses for salt, but yet it is so completely cheap right now. I started off talking about a visit to the dollar store, and where everything's a dollar. And then I said, well, what about this? And I hold up some salt, and they said it's a dollar. Actually, it's only 54 cents. And if you compare how cheap it is now versus how important it will be in a big long-term disaster, it's a big deal. So salt is very important. Spices, if you store up food, as are a lot of preppers, and if you actually taste the food that you're storing, some people don't do that, you need spices as well. Like a couple months ago, I was eating some Mountain House spaghetti, which I generally like, but it definitely needed some spices. And if you have a lot of stored up food, whether it's MREs or freeze-dried or canned or whatever, spices are important. And here's another one, water. I think for all preppers stocking up on things, water is, it's not only the most, it's not only a very important thing, it's the most important, because I don't think, nothing else really matters if you don't have water taken care of. And so I go into details about the different filters and different ways to purify water to make it drinkable. And it's something I've called it your next obsession as a prepper. It's something that's extremely important. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the book that I feel pretty good about.
Well, water is indispensable. In the scheme of things, it is primordial. On the other hand, in the first hour, it may not be the most important thing, but nor will salt. But salt has so many uses, including helping store other products. Salt in wounds, you can use it for a lot of applications, melting ice, putting in water to when you're dehydrated. There are lots of things you can do to get minerals back into your body. So all these things are pretty darn important. You mentioned the rules of three that you that everybody ought to be aware of. What were they?
Sure. Now, this is kind of standard with the prepper world, and I had kind of something to add to it that I wanted to write about. It's 3 minutes. You can survive 3 minutes without air, 3 hours without shelter, assuming horrible weather or whatever. 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. I also wrote 3 months to die without hope, hoping not to get political there. But the tweaking I did on the rules of three that all preppers talk about is morale. And if you've ever been through a real emergency, as our family has last year, morale is a real fudge factor with the rules of three. In other words, if you're in a really rotten mood, you might not survive 3 days without water. You might make some big mistakes. You might not have the food around to survive 3 weeks without food. Or you might not be able to, I'll put it that way. It's something that I think preppers tend to take for granted, that they'll have the right frame of mind, they'll have good morale, whereas in a true emergency situation, it's easy to let the morale slip, yeah, and you lose the ability to survive as long without water or food. So that's why I have a chapter in the book about keeping up your morale with different stuff, games, books, board games, different things that would help a retreat group survive a little bit longer, or at least as long as they're supposed to, without food or water or whatever. So that would be my tweaking of the rules of three.
Great. And also, there are codicils to each one of those. For example, 3 days without water is a killer. 2 days, it makes you stupid. You start having judgment errors, and you start feeling not so good about things, start getting, as you call it, a morale problem. So that is
yeah,
reality.
So, when you're ever in a real emergency situation, you really have to make a concerted effort and keep reminding yourself, I've got to keep my morale up.
Right.
And anybody in a bad mood will start insulting others and arguing, and you've really got to keep reminding yourself and others in your situation to keep up the morale. So I think that's important.
Right. We need to take a break. Believe it or not, we've gone through the opening segment in jet speed here. Again, your book, Cal Wilson. The book is Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping, and that's available at Amazon.com, self-published. So that is your major outlet, and they can get it in print form, a book, or they can get it in a Kindle e-book, and there is a combination deal. I think that's standard on Amazon.com when you have both. So encourage people to go there and get a copy of your book. And let's take just a break for a moment, Cal, and we'll be back. This is the Dr. Prepper CPR Talk Show, CPR for Critical Preparedness Radio, at which during which we discuss critical preparedness resources, and certainly will include Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping and its contents as one of those valuable resources. We'll be back in just a moment on the Dr. Prepper CPR Talk Show on Preparedness Radio.
You're listening to the Preparedness Radio Network. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor.
Want to reduce your dependence on the electrical grid? Trying to save money on groceries? Preparing for a major power outage? We can help. Layman's is your source for everything you need for heat, food, light, and water when there is no power. Glenda Lehman Irvin here for Layman's in Kidron, Ohio. My father, Jay Lehman, founded our store in 1955 to serve the local Amish with non-electric appliances, tools, and houseware items. Today, through our website, laymans.com, a print catalog, and a retail store, we provide oil lamps, water pumps, wood stoves, canning supplies, and hand tools to customers all over the world. If you think it isn't made anymore, check with Lehman's before you give up. Visit laymans.com or call us at 1-877-438-5346 for a free catalog, or just stop by. We're located about an hour south of Cleveland.
Making the Best of Basics Family Preparedness Handbook by James Talmadge Stevens. He's been a part of the preparedness community, sharing information since the beginning. That's why he's known as Dr. Prepper. Making the Best of Basics has been the all-time best-selling volume in the preparedness industry for almost four decades, updated and revised to provide the most relevant information available. You can choose the new CD-ROM version that's jam-packed full of special features. Or, for instant access to all the information, you can purchase the digital download version and have every how-to, every article, every recipe, and every resource available immediately. No wait and no freight. Visit www.makingthebestofbasics.com today and get your hands on this essential preparedness resource. While you're there, take the free Family Preparedness Self-Assessment Test. Be sure to stop by makingthebestofbasics.com for the CD-ROM, digital download, or print book, or all three. Making the Best of Basics. If you're going to buy just one resource to help you maximize your preparedness, this is the one. Making the Best of Basics.
Thanks for listening to a word from our sponsor. Now, back to the show on the Preparedness Radio Network.
Welcome back to the second segment of the Dr. Prepper CPR Talk Show here on PreparednessRadio.com, a part of the Preparedness Radio Network. My guest today, Cal Wilson, the author of a new book, just came out in February, so it's new in the marketplace. Go get a copy. It's relatively inexpensive. It's called Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping, and the subtitle is Cheap Stuff You Can Stockpile Now That Will Be Extremely Valuable When SHTF. So, obviously, the book has been out for a little while. You indicated to me it's doing pretty well. It's an easy book. You can put this in your hip pocket and run with it, and carry it with you when you're commuting. If you aren't driving, of course. Lots of things that are in it, and they can underline it, put notes in it. I use little sticky labels and have it sticking out the side when I want to go back and review something. But specifically, and you indicated one of the things that kind of tickled me is that. A friend of the dollar store, because the prices are fairly consistent there, and with the exception of salt. By the way, every time I go to the grocery store, we don't go every week, we go less than that, but when we go, I always buy a pound of salt. It's 45 to 54, depending on the day and the brand, whether I buy the store brand or the other brand, but a pound of salt is something that will be worth its weight in gold after the poop hits the propeller, because so many people will have forgotten. But you can use it for everything from stanching blood flow in your own, in your own body, or using it for salting down meat to preserve it when you don't have refrigeration. It does perk up the the taste of food in any regard, and you can use it in many other ways. And those are things people can learn. I don't know many recipes that don't call for salt or some other spice that gives it a saline flavor. Isn't that true?
That's right. That's right. Hey, Dr. Pepper, let me mention one other useful thing about my book. We had a table where one of the legs was a little bit too short, and the table was wobbling back and forth. So this book fit right under that shortened leg, and it was very useful.
And you can open it to the number of pages you need to make it level, right?
That's a good joke.
Yeah, fully adjusted leg table leveler. Fantastic. What are the cheapest ways? I'm sorry, say again.
I said the book is useful for many reasons.
Yes, absolutely. What are the cheapest ways to get started in prepping? And how do people determine the priority of what to buy or to procure or to assure they have in their inventory?
Yeah, there's a lot of new preppers kind of feel floored, like where do I even start? And how do I not spend a whole ton of money on getting started with prepping? And that was part of the reasons for this book. I would say first off is just hang out where things don't charge that much. You know, like you mentioned the dollar store. Or there's a lot of cheap stuff you can find on Amazon and eBay, even Craigslist. You know, a friend of mine went on Craigslist and somebody was giving away cartons of Mountain House, and he made a beeline to that place and claimed, I think he got like 15 or 16 free cartons of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Some prepper had died, and then the family had taken over the house. They didn't know what it was, but they wanted to give that stuff away. But the dollar store is a great place as well. Walmart, and there's some good websites that emergency essentials, for example, every once in a while they'll have some things on sale, some things they've actually bought too much of, and I go on there every once in a while and look for special deals that are pretty cheap, and I think that's a good place to start, as well as keeping kind of a starter list going, you know, bottles of water, salt, like you said. There's several other things in the book here. Athlete's foot ointment and jock itch cream. You can get that for 88 cents at Walmart, stuff like that. So long as you just start off in inexpensive areas, you know, and then keep a kind of a mental list. Every time you're in the grocery store, for example, pick up a couple of extra things that you can store away. And I think probably the first thing might be an extra case of bottled water, that kind of thing. And then just start storing up. And you'd be surprised at how quickly you can store up important stuff and not have to spend that much money on it.
You've been doing this for quite a while. Do you have a list? Do you sit down and actually write down the details of what you need in order to have some priority to do it? Because most people on limited budget, perhaps you're not. I always have been. I think most people are. I'm sure you are too. Because all of us only have so many things we can do with our income. And you have various members of your family, as I said in the intro, living in your home. So I assume, you're not freewheeling with your income either. So you've gone through a lot of products. And I think one of the things you do in each chapter is describe different solutions for the problem that the chapter addresses. And that'll help people make some good decisions, or better decisions perhaps, about what they're going to do if they don't have time to do all the analysis, do all the homework of each product. But generally speaking, most things in the marketplace are edible, they're credible, people have been living off these products in dollar store, Walmart, Kmart, all the other places. And yes, there's specialty stores and specialty prepper locations. You mentioned some of them. They're all over the internet. There are hundreds of vendors. And a sporting goods store is a great place to find a lot of these camping items, because basically you might consider that being a prepper means you just may have to camp outside the walls of your home. I see prepping as being able to camp within the walls of the home, but that's a matter of, I ain't going nowhere. My last idea of bugging, they'll have to shoot me to make me bug out, because there's no way I'm going to leave everything that I have. And I already live in an ex-urban area, so that I've resolved part of the thing is I don't have my neighbors a half a mile away on each side, and so obviously I've already found my my perfection, as it were, based on what I can afford. But I'm out in the boonies with acreage, and living on the side of a hill, and with my own water, with my own well, my own diesel engine to generate electricity, and my own propane gas, and my water cistern. I mean, I've done everything I can possibly do. I haven't gone to solar yet. I just haven't quite got into that range of income savings that I could do that. But you talk about simple things that people need to consider, like athlete's foot and where to get the stuff to solve those kinds of problems. You want to explicate or explain a little bit of why you discuss those things?
Well, I start off with the proposition, just an assumption that as much as we would all like to be able to stockpile everything we need, and then if there's a societal collapse, then we're set. We can, I think everybody would like to be in the position of saying, okay, I'm good to go. But I start off with the assumption that you probably won't be. And, short of getting everything that you will need to survive on your own, At the least, what you can do is stockpile stuff that you can barter, or some of the most important stuff that a lot of other people don't, a lot of other preppers don't talk about. As I said, the athlete's foot and jock itch cream, that's really cheap stuff right now. And if you think about it, if there is a societal collapse, and who knows, if there's not, then you're still prepared for it. So, but if there is a big long-term collapse, if you think about it, most people don't have, they haven't prepared for anything. Barely 50% of people even have a Band-Aid, So that's a lot of people who will be out walking or driving while they still have gas outside of the city. And then they'll be hiking around on their own. If it rains, they won't be able to clean themselves. They'll be walking around in foggy shoes. And that's a lot of people with athlete's foot and jock itch, and they'll be in serious pain. And, of course, I encourage some charity, too. But, that jock itch cream and athlete's foot is going to be extremely valuable. And it's only 88 cents per tube at the Walmart end cap today, So I've been stocking up on that as well. What else? We were talking, flashlights. Good quality flashlights with high lumens are pretty cheap these days. And so I encourage people to stock up on some flashlights, both the real small kind and the real bigger kind that have higher lumens. But the batteries, the most important rechargeable batteries are called Eneloop, and they hold their charge the most, at least that I've done the research on that. And there's a charger brand called La Crosse as well. But I think I've got a whole list of stuff here, and I arranged it as form of delta. In other words, what would be cheap now versus expensive later, and like you said, starting with salt, which is really cheap right now and probably will be very, very expensive later. So that's how I arranged the book here.
Well, so you tried to point out from a point of view that you have to think a little bit ahead to make sure you don't box yourself in, that you get products that are useful, generally useful, and you should have categories of things that are important to you. I suspect the younger your children or the broader the range of children, the more things you have to think of. You know, when you have a house full of teenagers, you don't have to worry about diapers, but you may have to worry about feminine products. So there's always a trade-off. What may not be important in one group would be very important to another. Those are things that require consideration. So how do you prioritize how do you prioritize your purchases or your acquisitions?
Yeah, just the cheapest stuff right now. And as you get more involved in prepping and you get your family involved, And you start envisioning different situations that you'll be in. It's good to start cheap and not overspend on this stuff. And you'll find that the cheaper stuff you can get prepared a lot quicker for what you're spending. You know, you mentioned female stuff. If you don't mind me answering that issue.
Hmm.
I was overhearing a podcast, and I won't name the name, but a pretty high-selling author talked about buying pallets full of tampons for a retreat location. And, you know, I've looked up, I've done this research only because I was doing this book, but your average woman goes through something like 11,000 tampons in their life. If there is a big long-term societal collapse, I don't think tampons will be much help, because if you have women who need them, you'll always run out. And trying to reuse a tampon is a surefire way to get a disease. So in the book, I talked about feminine stuff, and there's something called a menstrual cup. And this might be a male-dominated show, I won't go into detail, but it's something women who are of that age are really raving on menstrual cups, and they're very useful, and they can be reused. So I would recommend going with those instead of stocking up on physical tampons. So there's a chapter on that called Female Stuff. In the book.
Sure. Well, you know, those of us who are married have to consider that the most important thing to the gal is to feel that she was considered. There are some things that are very, very important to them, and we have to be concerned about those. One will be, of course, protecting them and assuring that they have enough to eat and enough to drink, and they're certainly going to appreciate knowing that we've thought about the things that are important to them, whether we mention it or not. And that is, paper products of all kind are important, by the way. I would say that certainly toilet tissue becomes one of great importance. You're aware of a company down in Hurricane, Utah, that has taken toilet paper and reduced it by vacuum to where it's about half the size. Of the roll is reduced to half size, and you buy it in a case, and the case is waterproof internally. So the
that's right.
The case of the inside is a solid plastic wrap. So it's waterproof, and then it's in a box, and you can stack it instead of the typical plastic wrap around the big rolls. I know that when you buy the ones at the local a grocery store or Mart store, it is loosely wrapped. You stack three or four of them up, and they start falling over. And you can't put much heavy stuff on top of it, except itself, because they're not boxed. So it's a great little product, it's an interesting solution.
And
there are
lots
of times, I don't remember the name of the company, but I bought some at a show. In fact, the guy wanted my book so badly, he said, "I'll trade you one of these for one of those." I said, "How many will you trade me?" tearing pages out of my book. It's very expensive compared to using his case of toilet paper. So there are lots of innovative things that have been done to help us become prepared or get better prepared in today's marketplace, because American industry always shines. If there's a problem, there always seems to be a solution, or some entrepreneur is working on it. And that is, I think, very critical. You have...
Thanks. I'll look into that. Thank you.
Yeah, I can probably get you that. If you say, I can look it up. I can walk over to my storeroom and look at it. Got it under my bed. So lots of things that you discuss in your book. We've reached another point where we need to take a break. So when you come back, I want you to talk to people about your advice on guns, because it's a different take from the typical tactical blogger today. It seems that in every series back during, I've been through now the gas crisis back in 1974, I've been through the Y2K situation, actually in 88 there was another one, it didn't have a name, it was the real estate bust, I guess, and then we went through another one at the end of at the Y2K thing, and now we are seeing it again, where what is practical and kind of fun, and people start being urged to be prudent, to take some steps to just make sure, in case things go wrong, they have some solutions, to where now it gets to where everybody starts talking about killing somebody to make sure that nobody steals their stuff. And to me, that is to talk about morale, that really... Nothing gets me more, incited than hearing people talk about killing each other over a little bit of food. Yes, people with kids will do everything they can to keep them alive. That's why we're urging people now to think about that and to make some efforts. Some people who have kids don't normally have a lot of extra money, but if they can buy a boat and go water skiing and buy jet skis and things like that, and buy two or three cars for kids, then certainly they could have thought to spend some of that. Those are decisions I can't control and I can't monitor, but I certainly can advise people, as you would, be prudent, be smart, do the things that would be best in the long run, and try not to over-invest in the pleasures of life, but rather in the treasures of life that is keeping us alive. Does that sound rational?
Yep, exactly. I agree.
So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back. Again, we'll tell people your book, Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping, available at Amazon in either print and or the digital download Kindle book. And they can find that. The name is Cal, C-A-L, like California, Cal Wilson, and self-published, so that's the place where they'll find the book. And certainly... If they want more copies of the book, there's a way they can get in touch with you, and you can certainly make them a deal, because you're the man.
Yep.
We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Dr. Prepper. This is the Dr. Prepper CPR, Critical Preparedness Radio, on which we discuss critical preparedness resources. Today it's Cal Wilson and his Dirt Cheap Valuable Shipping book, which has been out just a few months now and is fairly successful. And we'll be back to discuss other items, guns, and other issues after these words from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Preparedness Radio Network. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor.
Everyone knows that the fresher the food, the better. Better for health, nutrition, and, of course, taste. This is especially true with grains and flours that can become rancid so quickly. That's why it's important to have a quality grain mill for use today and in your preparations. The Wonder Mill Company is the only American company to produce an electric mill as well as a manual mill, and they're made with the highest quality materials and workmanship. They create the finest flours, whether from whole grains, gluten-free grains, beans, and even more. The Wonder Mill Electric Mills and the Wonder Junior Deluxe Manual Grain Mills are the highest rated grain mills for good reason. They work and they're built to last. Visit the Wonder Mill website to check out their videos, reviews, recipes, and to find a dealer near you today. That's thewondermill.com.
Looking to get the real boil for your buck? The Kelly Kettle may be the most versatile and valuable piece of camping or emergency preparedness equipment that you can own. By quickly and easily starting a fire, protect it from both the wind and the rain, boil water and cook food at the same time, Kelly Kettle provides the ability to stay warm on a cold night, stay fed with hot food, stay hydrated, stay clean, and stay alive. All with a portable kettle that fires up with just a few pieces of natural fuel, like a pine cone, dry twigs, or bark. The Kelly Kettle is a highly efficient portable, double-walled water kettle and cook stove. It will quickly become your favorite accessory when it comes to camping, fishing, backpacking, and emergency preparedness. You don't want to be without a Kelly Kettle. Check out the different Kelly Kettle models and accessories today at KellyKettleUSA.com. That's KellyKettleUSA.com.
Our sponsors. Now, back to the show on the Preparedness Radio Network.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Dr. Prepper CPR Talk Show on Preparedness on the Preparedness Radio Network, and this is preparednessradio.com. All of our broadcasts are available at iTunes, and they're in the cloud, so they're very easy to download. There's no charge at iTunes for any of our programming, and there are about 7,000 hours and some 50 show hosts who have produced these programs for with us. So it will be great for you to be a part of that. So today we're talking to Cal Wilson, who is the author of Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping, and we're discussing some of the implications of being prepared. I think we talked about the rules of three and those things, but and we were talking about the cheap ways to get started. We talked about the single most important thing, which was water. Trying to look at my notes here, what we've been talking about. What is your take on guns, and why is it considered to be different from the masses?
Okay, well, as a normal red-blooded American with testosterone running through my veins, I, like a lot of preppers, like to accumulate guns. And ammo, and in fact, I don't call it guns. I call it guns, you know. and it's important to have some ways to really defend yourself, and that's no doubt about it. That's important. But if you ever feel like your blood pressure is a little low and you want to give a jump start, go on YouTube and look up Katrina and guns. And that is a situation that might happen elsewhere in the country. In other words, when the Katrina hurricane blew through, the powers that be in New Orleans decided to confiscate everybody's guns. And if watching these videos would make you really boil your blood, it would make your blood boil. They were going door to door, confiscating guns. And one of the situations had I hesitate to call her elderly, but she was kind of a frail 60-something woman. And the local newscaster and news cameras were interviewing her about how she did during the hurricane and how did she do with water, et cetera, et cetera. And just coincidentally, the National Guard and the local police came to her door. And she had a gun, a little revolver in her hand. She wasn't pointing it at anybody or waving it around, threatening or anything. But they came in, and while the cameras were rolling, they slammed her up against the wall and then slammed her against the ground, and somebody put their knee in her back, and then they grabbed her gun and arrested her for something. And a few hours later, they realized they didn't have anything to arrest her on, so they let her go, and she went straight to the hospital. But it's stuff like that that could happen again. If there's a large enough scale disaster in your neighborhood or in the country, the powers that be could be going door to door confiscating guns. So that's why I spend a chapter here talking about, it's good to stock up on guns, sure, but have some backup plans. Have some stock up on other things that you can use to protect yourself, like hatchets, machetes, crossbows, and knives and all that. And I talk about different ways, of course, to not spend so much on that. But it's just important to have a good backup plan in case guns do get confiscated, which I hope they don't, but there's always that possibility. And Katrina was the lesson, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, another thing about Katrina, that Walmart in town was getting looted, and one of the news cameras went in there and just showed the looting, and lo and behold, they saw a cop in there. So when things get really bad, you probably won't be able to count on police protection. And I'm not saying all cops are like that, but that's a possibility too, that the police will not be there to protect you. They might be there to help harm you or loot your store or whatever, or take away your gun. So anyway, regarding guns, that's my take on it, that it's good to stock up on things that protect yourself, guns to protect yourself with, but if they're taken away, you need to have a backup plan, like hatchets and machetes and knives.
Yeah.
So that's what I was talking about there. Hey, you mentioned before the break paper product. If you don't mind, I could talk about what I had to say there as well, if that's all right. You're the boss.
Well, I think the most important thing is to realize that there are weapons. A shovel is a weapon. An axe is a weapon. A hatchet is a weapon.
Yep.
I know I'd be a whole lot more concerned about a guy coming at me with a sharp knife than a gun. I never want to take a knife to a gunfight.
Right.
But on the other hand, I fear more being cut than shot for whatever reason. I probably shouldn't. I was an Army man. I repaired a lot of gunshots, and I've seen some pretty bad damage being repaired. But I know when you cut someone, they bleed out very quickly.
A machete just won't jam, you know.
Yeah, especially if it hits you with a large blade. It slashes through a lot of muscle, tendon, and blood vessels that can bleed you out. So obviously, those are the kinds of things. But like mentioned, you live in the country and you have shovels sitting around the house in various places. So if the kids see a snake, they can grab the shovel and kill it. And you mentioned going through a hardware store. Every time you go through a hardware store, see if there's some tool on sale that you can afford. And especially when you live next to a Tractor Supply, there are always opportunities to find those kind of tools. Tractor Supply is my new hardware store. and they open up one about 2 miles away, brand new one. And by the high school, I think it's the first time they've ever opened a Tractor Supply near a high school. Can you imagine the traffic they must get at lunchtime? But interesting, the things that we can do to protect ourselves, and just having a good 8-pound sledgehammer, extra handle around, you can do a lot of damage. With a 42-inch piece of ash wood that has been finely sanded down to be a tool handle. You can use that. I think there's a whole series of movies about a sheriff that had an axe handle and he pretty well cleaned up the town. So there are, or a baseball bat, one or the other. The whole point is you can have lethal weapons that are not on the sheriff's list for searching and taking into out of your hands, which is a darn good thing. One question and another is, what are the biggest rookie mistakes made in the prepping as preppers try to get started?
Yeah, I was going to mention toilet paper. Stocking up on toilet paper might be good for a shorter-term situation.
Yeah.
One thing I recommended for longer-term storage, if you're trying to build up supplies for a retreat community, is there's something called a travel bidet. If you've ever been to Europe, you know what a bidet is. And it's possible to go with, not have to use toilet paper if you have a bidet nearby. Well, a travel bidet is the same idea. You put lukewarm water in it and use that instead of toilet paper. Toilet paper would be good just for a shorter emergency, but if it's a longer-term societal collapse, I'd recommend getting several travel bidets on hand. But some other mistakes I've seen people do is buy bleach. And bleach has a limited shelf life. And what I recommend instead of bleach is stocking up on pool socks, which you can turn into bleach. The thing about pool shock, it can be kind of dangerous to have around the house or the garage or something, so it needs to be in a well-ventilated area. And as I wrote in the book, when it comes to pool shock, the containers of pool shock have a lot of disclaimers and precautions written on them. And I tell the reader, read through those and take them seriously. One other rookie mistake I've seen is people who, and again, this is tempting for testosterone guys, to get a real cool-looking pickup truck that's lifted several extra inches off the ground and four-wheel drive and all that. That will be something that will be one of the first things taken at gunpoint. So I've got a chapter in the book on dorky-looking cars, cars that, from the early 70s, I guess like AMC made some really dorky-looking cars.
And Chrysler. That's not down by the bathtub. Yeah, I remember them.
Remember that Matador they came out with?
Yeah.
No offense to Matador owners, but I'm sorry, it's a dorky-looking car. It won't get taken from you at gunpoint. Probably. If you have like a sedan from the late 60s, remove the hubcaps, remove the front grille, and especially if the paint is a little off, people, that won't be taken from you. Especially, you can remove one of the distributor wires and it'll run unevenly for a while. I wouldn't do that all the time, but that's another rookie mistake there.
Yeah. So don't own stuff that people covet. You want to get away from one of the cardinal sins of coveting and lusting after somebody else's stuff.
Yep. And I've been in third world countries where, I've never at gunpoint had tough stuff taken away from me. But as I drove through the roadblock, I've wondered, why is that family over there and why is their car over there? What did they do wrong? Or are they just having stuff taken away from them? I think it's standard roadblock procedure.
Yeah, you avoid the appearance of being wealthy or well provisioned.
Yeah.
And so my 99 Ford Escort wagon, it's going to be great. And my 95 Ford truck, that had a tree fall on the back of it, will probably be just a fantastically non-interesting item to most people.
Yep. You paint it flat black or flat dark green, especially if there's some kind of uneven paint thing going on there. You might even get some sympathy from a roadblock, and they'll feel sorry for you instead of trying to steal it from you.
the point is, I always said, too, when people say, well, we have some food stored. When everybody has to stand in line to get a daily ration, what do we do? I said, get in line and whine.
That's right.
Be like everybody. Don't look fat. Get rid of the fat.
Yeah. There's that question a lot of preppers face. What am I going to do if somebody says, hey, if the sewage hits the fan, I'm coming to your place? And I guess that's one good answer, to just say, no, I was thinking about going to your place.
Yeah, yeah. I'm coming over to your place with my guns, and let's see.
Yeah.
Well, that is a, you know, there are some people who have the idea. Well, to them, it's kind of a forced thing, or and the whole point of it is that people who talk like that certainly aren't thinking, and they certainly aren't thinking straight. To think that anybody with a reasonable amount of stuff supplied that they thought about and given up other things to have are going to have it unprotected. And I get tickled by the guys that say, we're going to move next door to an Amish, or we're going to move next door to a Mormon, or whatever, or we're going to move next door to a church because we know churches have food. Normally, they don't store food in churches. It's kind of against the law, actually, for churches to fix food unless they have a registered kitchen, and the kitchen has to pass a local approval, and they have to meet certain standards, health standards. You can warm food, but you can't fix food. You know, you can cut a cake, but you can't bake a cake. There's some real rules, and in the modern world, in the downtown world, now maybe out in a country church, you can get away with it because the sheriff and the county commissioner and everybody else belongs to the same congregation, but that would probably also be a reason not to break the law. We need more thinking and getting away from stinking thinking, because so many people just don't think clearly. And it's because of inexperience. We've had so much wealth for so long, so much convenience, everything ready. You can go anywhere, anytime, buy anything you want without even having money, because you got this little piece of plastic. Or now you have it on, you have a chip in your hand, or you have a chip in your cell phone, or smartphone, and you can just pass it over the system, and it takes it out of your account, and they're just ones and zeros. It doesn't. You know, it's a whole other world, and it's on an account that you can borrow from. It's amazing how easy it is to become prepared if you really want to. So in the final system, then, obviously, you talk about getting into aquaponics and things like that, which is a whole, that's a great idea. You discuss it as an option, but you don't go into all the details because it is a discipline. It's like physics. It is part of physics, actually, and chemistry. So the whole thing requires a lot more concentration and detail that your book goes into. But it does discuss that people need to create food-generating systems, and that could be raising rabbits and chickens, having, of course, your own garden if you can. Some places you can't. But I did – somebody asked me once, well, what if I live on the 9th floor of an apartment? How can I have a food storage program? Now, rule of three for food storage is real simple. You have to learn how to produce food. It has three P's. You have to learn how to prepare food. And thirdly, you have to learn how to preserve food. Does that make sense? Now, there's a rule of three that's really simple.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. I live on the third floor, 9th floor of an apartment building. How do I do that? You get in your car, you go down to the grocery store, you get a basket, you go down the aisles, and you pick out the things that you normally eat, and based on your budget and your priority plan, you go to the checkout counter, you put the stuff on the belt, and the gal runs it through the system, and then you produce your wallet, and you pick out your credit card or cash or check or however you deal with it, and you pay for it. A lot of P's there. I love it, don't you? And then you put it in your car, and then you pack it into the house, and you put it on the shelves. You have produced food, haven't you?
Yeah.
You see, we get so hung up, though, that we got to go out and grow a garden, or you got to have pots growing on your balcony. Most apartments don't have balconies. You're lucky you can open a window in a 9th-floor apartment because they don't want kids falling out. people climbing the walls and coming in uninvited. So basically, you can produce food any way you can procure it produces food that you can put away in your closet and have it for them preparing for a meal. You can also do sprouting, get seeds and sprout. Anybody can sprout. They teach them at 4 years of age in kindergarten or in preschool. You learn how to. Kids come home with a with a plastic or paper cup, saying, "Mama, Mama, I got a tree growing right. Look, it's coming up through the ground." And they learn how to sprout a seed. They learn the principle of sprouting right then and there. And you can sprout and have much better a diet than eating out of canned foods. It just takes a little work, and every child can do it, which is really interesting. So there are lots of solutions. We just have to be made aware of them, and we have to be willing to do things we may not have done in the past in order to achieve things we've never had to achieve before. That's what prepping is all about, learning new skills, gaining new habits, getting new attitudes. I mean, actually, prepping is less about skill, more about attitude, in my opinion. People say, "Well, no, it's all about skill." Not really. It's about a desire to achieve something that has no definitive date of occurrence. You know, you don't know when that poop is going to hit the propeller, but you have an idea because the propeller is turning and there's poop out there. It's just a matter of time before the two meet in the same plane. A physical plane, not an airplane. But anyway, the whole point is you've addressed some of the things that people don't normally, and very plainly, very upfront. You talk about trash, and trash is very important. Waste is very important. Yeah, well, that and getting rid of your waste is very important. Those things can kill you because your own E. coli can kill you before you before you get thirsty. If you drink or eat bad food or drink bad water, you can die before they can get the medication to you, if there is any medication. So those are things you have to consider pretty much. Yes. We're down to that part of the show, by the way, where I ask you to give me your little elevator speech to summarize what was said, or to pick up on things we were going to talk about and didn't, or just do whatever you want to do. It's your time, and I give it to you to kind of bring it together with a summary.
Thanks. A couple of things I wanted to mention. They're not overall arching ideas or anything, but sleeping bags and coats and blankets. That's stuff that's very important to keep at a retreat location. And the worst thing you can do is go on Amazon and try to buy it brand new. You can go on eBay and buy this stuff used. A couple of months ago, I bought a used sleeping bag for, I think, less than $20, whereas brand new, they're going for about $200. Just the idea of used blankets, used sleeping bag, used coat, even if it's a color you don't like, just buy it and stock up on that. Soap is also something that Ivory soap is very, very cheap, and it would make a big difference in a long-term disaster. But I guess the overall that I would recommend is, you know, there's that doomsday show, doomsday preppers that I thought was still educational, but they pigeonhole people. What are you preparing for? Oh, I'm preparing for the north and south magnetic poles reversing or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
it's just an example. But I still thought it was an educational show. But as far as what to prepare for, I would recommend people just prepare for the worst. Prepare for a total societal collapse, and anything short of that would be great. And you'll be that much better prepared for the shorter term stuff. I was watching a YouTube video, and some preppers said, "Okay, Friday at 5 p.m., I'm turning off the power in our house." And he chronicled how his family survived just over the weekend. And shorter-term stuff like that, you can get through with not very much advanced preparation. You don't have to spend that much to survive. And statistically, that's stuff like that is more likely to happen anyway. You know, a hurricane, tornado, a fire coming through or whatever. The shorter term stuff, you'll be that family that gets through it and survives, especially with this list that I have in this book of really inexpensive stuff that would make a big difference. So anyway, I guess that's my overall, is prepare for the worst and know that the shorter-term stuff will happen, and bring that stuff out of the box and actually get to use it. You know, learn how to use this stuff and make it a part of your everyday life. And you'll be that much more prepared for the stuff that is actually more likely to happen. Or, worst comes to worst, you'll still be prepared for a societal collapse. You never know.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. By the way, I do have a rule of three for that. You prepare for the worst. You hope for the best. You just have to be able to deal with what you get. That's a really good rule. So anyway, thanks for sharing what you've written in your book, Cal, the Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping Book by Cal Wilson on Amazon.com, both in print and in the Kindle format and downloadable instantly. You can get both for deal. I like the book because I can go through and mark things. It gives me ideas. I write in the margins. And I really like your roadkill chili recipe. I put a little sticky label to remind me of that. This is the first time I've seen a roadkill chili recipe. I said, why not? You know, thank you so much for being on today. Truly appreciate your taking the time, Cal, and being part of a show here on the Preparedness Radio Network. Let's get together again and talk about some of these simple, valuable prepping ideas. And you know, the KISS principle for me is keep it simple, Stevens. And it really works for me. And it helps me realize that every big problem can be resolved if you solve the concomitant parts, break it into little parts. It's like eating an elephant, just one mouthful at a time. So thank you for your great little book and for the opportunity of having you on the show. And certainly hope that people will run and buy the book, get it. It's a great little book to put it in your hip pocket and carry it with you and give you ideas, especially as you're out looking around. Or read it before you go and remember the principles. Great to have you on today, Cal. Thanks for joining us, and we certainly wish you the best with your book and with your prepping, and hopefully we'll have you back and we'll be able to talk some more.
I'd look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
A delight to have you. Well, this is I'm Dr. Prepper. This has been the Dr. Prepper CPR Talk Show, Critical Preparedness Radio, where we discuss critical preparedness resources on the Preparedness Radio Network. And this is preparednessradio.com, the place where you can find hours and hours of good, clean instruction, education on how to become prepared or perhaps even get better prepared. We'll be back shortly, another day, another time, with more information, another author, another expert, another professional to help you become prepared and to be able to take care of yourself and your family. Accept the responsibility of taking care of your own, because there will be a time when you will be totally responsible for their lives. Well, we welcome you back as soon as you can. Go to iTunes. You can find many more educational opportunities at preparednessradio.com or the preparednessradionetwork.com. Both of them have archives full of different points of view about preparedness, about survivalism, about urban, suburban, and ex-urban homesteading. Lots of information to help you become prepared. We'll be back soon. I'm Dr. Prepper. Have a great day. Bye now.
Hi, I'm Joshua Swanigan with Urban Defense Institute, a reality-based self-defense and combative school in mid-Michigan. At Urban Defense Institute, we utilize our combined real-world experience along with years of diverse martial arts training to give you the tools and mindset to survive real-life aggressive conflict and get you and yours out alive. Find out more about our classes or book us for a seminar. We will travel at UrbanDefenseInstitute.com or on Facebook at Facebook.com/UrbanDefenseInstituteMI.
If you thought the award-winning Hood's Woods video series was cool, wait till you see this. From Karen Hood of Survival.com and Hood's Woods Video Productions comes Survival Quarterly Magazine, with some of the best names in the industry like Ted Nugent, Michael Hawk, Dave Williams, and of course, Karen Hood, along with too many more to list, Survival Quarterly Magazine puts survival in the palm of your hand. Just visit SurvivalQ.com for current and back issues. And don't forget to keep up with all things Survival Quarterly at Facebook.com/Survival Quarterly.
You've been listening to the Preparedness Radio Network, offering helpful and timely tips on preparing for natural and man-made disasters. Timely and useful tips on gardening and homesteading. Until next time, remember, preparedness saves lives. This is the Preparedness Radio Network.